Outs in the business. Call my bookie now at 844-900-2387 and mention promo code radio and they'll double your money on your first deposit. You can also sign up online right on your phone. Just visit mybookie.ag today. That's mybookie.ag or call 844-900-BETS. Play, win, get paid.
Have you ever been interested in learning horse racing but don't know where to start? Acing Racing 2016, the audiobook, is your path to winning on the ponies. With basic strategies and advanced wagering techniques, you'll learn everything you need to start betting at the track. Easily downloadable to all smart devices and computers, Acing Racing 2016 is a goldmine of information from me, Fred Fowler. Listen at the gym, in your car, or anywhere. After an hour and a half, you'll be ready to play at any racetrack in America, all for the low, low price of just $12.99. Go to GalMediaPublishing.com to download today. Acing Racing, your key to winning at the track.
The Blitz, KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Are you ready?
Hey, you think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from Fuego's in the Heights, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, hour number two. 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. Or you can hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page. On The Blitz, click like. It's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at A.J. is the real. At Jon Snow with a 0, not an O. At Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. You missed the first hour. Pretty much all Astros and Texans.
Yeah, and as it should have been.
And deservedly so. And we'll continue to hit on those. And before we move on to the rest of the league, just put a little bow on the Texans. The one thing that I think Watson and the Texans are missing is a signature win against a good team. They came close in New England. Not so close against the Chiefs. They're going to get a chance in 2 weeks.
Yeah, a win at the Seahawks, first of all, is very attainable. This is not your this isn't the Seahawks of the past, I don't think. This is a beatable team. That said, the Seahawks are coming off a bye. They're going to be healthy, and they're at home where they're much tougher. But if you're a really good football team, you can beat these guys, and I would like to see that. The problem is, Fred, they don't have a lot of opportunities left for that signature win.
Yeah.
I think at the Seahawks it would be a good win, and I think at the Rams at this point we would have to consider a good win. I don't know if there's anything else on their schedule that would wow me right now. And a home win against the Steelers late, I guess, depending on what the Steelers are at the time, would be nice.
That's the other possibility, because I think the Steelers are going to come around, and they're starting to come around. And we saw a little bit of that yesterday.
But so far, they are against teams that I think have basically no chance of making the playoffs. They are 3-0.
Yeah.
Well, I shouldn't say that. The Titans have some chance of making the playoffs still.
Yeah.
I shouldn't count them out.
When they get Mariota back.
But they also beat the Titans with a backup quarterback. And
well, they were
at
beating,
least half of a backup
well,
quarterback.
Well, they were beating the Titans before.
You're right.
Mariota went out. In fact, when by the time he came in, it was going to be, 37-10.
So that's their best win to date. But all three teams that they've lost to, and two of those losses have been at home, which is disappointing, are teams that look like they are definitely playoff teams or are at least a borderline playoff team. And I think Jacksonville right now we consider a borderline playoff team, right?
Yeah, I don't know what to make of Jacksonville. And that first loss I'm going to write off to the storm and everything else. And they weren't ready to play that day and trotted Tom Savage out there. And we'll talk about Jacksonville in a minute because that's one team that confuses me quite a bit. And I think we're seeing a lot of the Texans look a lot like Jacksonville, like Tennessee. When they play well, it's not close.
Yeah.
And when they don't, then – and really, the Texans have only played one game this year that you look at and say, okay, that was awful. I mean, the Chiefs game, Chiefs were just better.
Yeah.
And I thought they hung in there as well as they could.
And the final score wasn't as – I mean, the final score was 8 points, but that was not a close game.
But you also lost two of your best defensive players on the first series. And,
yeah.
And that had to take a little wind out of the sails.
The Chiefs game and the Jags game were ass kickings.
Yeah, although – and again, I think there were reasons for both. Like, you can make a pretty good excuse for the Jacksonville game, and frankly, I think you could for the Chiefs game,
although
too.
There was a hurricane going on in Jacksonville at the time, too.
Yeah, but they weren't dealing with all the aftermath yet, and frankly, the disrupted schedule and all that stuff, and unfortunately...
Oh, and they also didn't start Tom Savage.
Well, that's true. That's true.
They were smart enough not to do that. Oh, the Texans weren't.
Let's give something away real quick, and then we'll get to the other games. We keep giving away stuff I want. I want that trip to Jacksonville.
Yeah.
I also want this. Two tickets to Vampires and Vixens, presented by Leather and Lace.
I think you could get that.
Win two tickets to this year's hottest Halloween party, Vampires and Vixens Ball, presented by Leather and Lace, hosted by supermodel Charlotte McKinney. Experience an award-winning haunted house with the coolest scare technology, specialty performers, and the creepiest clowns you've ever seen. All this is happening on Saturday, October 28th at the Silver Street Studios. Tickets are available at leatherandlaces.com, and a portion of the proceeds will benefit disaster relief efforts from Harvey for Easter Seals of Greater Houston. Leather and Laces Vampire and Vixen's Ball is sponsored by Twin Peaks, Bacardi, Grey Goose, Patron, Top Dog Halloween, and Common Bond Bakery. Caller 25. You're going to get to see creepy clowns. All right, let's take a look at the rest of the league, because a lot of very interesting action yesterday, and some big surprises, which we haven't talked about.
Oh.
Haven't talked about the Survivor League yet.
You and I, there were 100 people who played in this Survivor League that we threw on. You and I have both made the Final Four.
Yeah.
There are now four contenders remaining, including us.
Yeah.
So only two listeners have made it this far.
A lot of people had Denver. A lot of people had Atlanta. I went with the Texans yesterday. I think you did, too.
I did.
I went
back and forth between Redskins and Texans. I guess it wouldn't have mattered.
Yeah, you would have gotten by either way. But all right. Well, we'll start with Minnesota beating Green Bay. Aaron Rodgers is the big story there. Broken collarbone again. This time it's his passing shoulder.
This changes the entire outlook of the NFC. I mean, this to me, it erases a contender from the mix in the NFC. And in a year where I don't know that there's anybody who I would say is like a runaway favorite, this sort of knocks one of the teams that I would have given a shot off the list.
Yeah.
Because I can't picture a world where the Green Bay Packers, without Aaron Rodgers, contend for a Super Bowl. I just don't think it happens.
I like Brett Hundley a lot, but this is too much of a drop-off. And there's too many injuries all throughout that roster.
Well, and Brett Hundley played like an a-hole yesterday.
Yeah, I think he got, you know, I think you give him a week of practice.
You're throwing it into the fire, but yeah. Three picks and four sacks isn't a great start.
No, it's not a great start, but that's a tough defense and a tough place to play, and especially to get thrown in. And same thing, you could just see the entire team deflate when Rodgers went down, because they realize their season's over when that guy's getting carted off. So I think he'll do better, but this team's not – I'm not sure they're a playoff contender without him, especially with all the other injuries they have. Last night's game, Giants over the Broncos, 23-10.
That's wild, isn't it?
Raise your hand if you saw that coming. Now put it down because you're lying.
Yeah, I sure didn't. What it boiled down to was the Broncos couldn't run the ball to save their lives.
Yeah.
And the Giants, who haven't run the ball well all year, found some holes last night.
Yeah.
And Orleans Darkway had a great game. Gallman had a good game. And suddenly the Broncos just didn't have an answer. It was three and out, three and out, three and out from the Broncos. At the end of the day, you look at Trevor Siemian's stats, and he put up big numbers. But it was all just junk time stuff. He threw for almost 400 yards, 376 yards. And you think, wow, if you said Trevor Siemian was going to throw for damn near four Bills, I would have given him a shot. But they just got blown out in this game and didn't have anything for the Giants. And that, you talk about backs against the wall, Giants are looking like, people are talking about trading Eli Manning, everything else.
Yeah.
Then they get a win. Again, I don't think it's going to matter. You know, teams that start 0-5 don't make the playoffs, but it was nice to see the Giants show up last night.
Patriots beat the Jets 24-17, and frankly, Jets got hosed out of a touchdown, in my opinion.
They at least got hosed out of the ball at the goal line. You know, I because the thing, like, well, he didn't have control of the ball going over the goal line, okay, but he didn't lose the ball out of bounds. They said he did, because he came out of bounds holding on to the ball. That at least should have been, it shouldn't have been a touchback. So it was a tough situation. I didn't like the call either, but I did have the under, so I accepted it.
Well, and the truth is, Patriots still don't look like the Patriots.
They do not.
Even with Gronk back. And
Gronk was back yesterday, by the way.
And one more before we go to break. Probably the game of the day. Steelers beat the Chiefs 19-13. And this was a very odd game because the Steeler defense was fantastic.
They were great.
For probably the first three quarters. And, you know, it's tempting to say, well, okay, the Steelers are getting it together. But they kind of got a fluke touchdown on a deflection to Antonio Brown to take command of the game.
Won the game for him.
Yeah, and so I think part of it was their defense played great. I still think you know, Le'Veon Bell
was a monster.
Yeah.
And the defense held Kareem Hunt to basically nothing.
Yeah.
And nobody's been able to do that so far. The Steelers said, okay, Kareem Hunt's not going to beat us. They didn't allow him to beat us. And Alex Smith had a game manager type of game. And when Kareem Hunt's not doing what he's doing, a game management type of game isn't enough from Alex Smith, who, you know, has been an MVP candidate all year. The two guys who I would say have been MVP candidates, Alex Smith and Kareem Hunt, both, I don't want to say, Alex Smith didn't have a bad game, but he didn't have a good enough game, and Kareem Hunt did nothing.
The Steelers made it to where Alex Smith had to win the game for him.
And he didn't.
They took away Kelsey. They took away Hunt. And that was a good win for the Steelers, kind of gets them back into the conversation. I don't think you're right off the Chiefs just yet. That wasn't their best.
Oh,
effort,
no.
Though.
I mean, they're still 5-1. Yeah, I mean, they still got the best record in the NFL. They're doing okay.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we will do the rest of the games from yesterday and a lot of other things to get into, man. It's just a very, very busy weekend in sports.
Well, as you know, Fred, on Monday, every other Monday, Eric comes in and brings us some Carbach beer. But because we're out today, we decided, you know what? Let's do tomorrow. Let's do Tuesday. So Eric, that way Eric can bring us beer to the studio, basically, is what it boils down to. You've got to get out to the restaurant if you haven't tried it yet. They're open 7 days a week for lunch and dinner. And all their great food pairs really well with the Carbach beer that they've got on the wall, including that BBH espresso that they've got up right now. Coming up November 5th, Foam Hinge, the first annual Foam Hinge at Carbach. This year's lineup, they've got an AC/DC tribute band called Back in Black. Barnes Courtney will play. The Texas metal legends, The Sword, will play. And the Blue Oyster Cult will headline. Great food and beer choices on the Carbach Beer Garden grounds. They'll tap some special casks and barrel-aged offerings to celebrate a fantastic day of music. The gates will open up at 1:30. Tickets at carbachbrewing.com/foamhinge. You can get in with the early bird pricing for $15. That is through October 16th. Today is the last day to get that early bird pricing. It's going to be $20 after that. General admission day of will be $25. Or you can get a VIP pass, which includes VIP entrance, VIP area with optimal view, indoor restrooms, three beers of your choice, access to special tappings, and a buffet by Carbach Restaurant and the patio. That's for $75. Gates open at 1:30. Music starts at 2:30. It's going to be a fantastic time. The first annual Foam Hinge, presented by Carbach. You can get more information about tickets at carbachbrewing.com/foamhinge. And whenever you're out and about this week watching the Astros, tell the bartender, please make it a Carbach.
ESPN 97.5. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Fuegos in the Heights. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz here at Fuegos off Durham, right near Washington. And if you're looking for a place to watch the game tonight, and it is a beautiful night. I mean, you cannot ask for a better day. Huge patio out here to sit outside and watch the game. Which I'm big on that when we get this kind of weather.
Oh yeah, which, it's good patio weather.
This has just been an awesome day, man. It was so cool to wake up to this morning. All right, let's just finish off the games. We go to Oakland, where the Chargers found a guy who could make a game-winning field goal, Nick Novak, and they win it 17-16. Their record should at least be 3-3. I don't know why they were stuck with Young Hoku, but you know, Novak did miss one early, but did come up when they needed to, and man, Derek Carr just does not look good. I don't know if he was back, but I don't know if he's still hurt or it just is kind of continuing a pattern of really not very good play this season.
Yeah, he's not been great, but I'll tell you what, Amari Cooper has not been great for him either.
No.
Amari Cooper, who was just dominating guys last year, he's hardly been able to get open. Michael Crabtree's been easily their best receiver this year. But Derek Carr's frustrated. And you heard him in his postgame talking about how not everybody seems to be on the same page and not everybody's giving max effort, which I don't know if he's talking directly at Amari Cooper, but that's they got to get something figured out there. This team is too talented on offense to be this poor. And the Raiders at this point, 2-4, if they don't get it together soon, they're not making the playoffs.
No. Cardinals beat the Bucs 38-33. This was a strange game because Cardinals were just running away with it. How about Adrian Peterson, by the way?
Oh, man. Welcome back.
Yeah, he was incredible. But then Jameis Winston gets hurt, and Ryan Fitzpatrick comes on and turns us into a ball game late.
He did, but he also turned it over twice.
He did.
And that's not something you can afford to do.
Kind of Ryan Fitzpatrick,
that's
though.
What he
He'll
is.
Get you some touchdowns, but he is going to give the ball up.
He got him back in the game, but he also gave away the game at the same time. So, you know, Jameis didn't look effective when he was out there. I don't know if he would have turned it on or what.
Well, I tend to believe that he would have at some point and would have gotten him back in the game, but we'll never know.
But I also think Arizona's a pretty decent team. And you know, to start off 2-3, I think they're better than that. You know, their team I picked to make the playoffs at the beginning of the year. I haven't totally given up on those guys. I think they should be better. I think this, you know, their next game against the Rams is going to be really telling of who both those teams are, honestly.
Well, it looked like 2010 out there with Palmer throwing the ball all over the yard and Fitzgerald catching 10 passes.
Fitzgerald
and Peterson
just doesn't age.
No.
He's unbelievable. And it you know, the comparison to Larry Fitzgerald as far as Hall of Fame resumes has always been Andre Johnson. I don't think there's any comparison because Andre Johnson's retired doing nothing and Larry Fitzgerald's still out there going for 140. I mean, it's just
good doing it. It wasn't that.
That's not junk.
No, not at all. Bears beat the Ravens in overtime, 27-24. And Bears looked like they were going to run away with this, and then the Ravens got back in it. And Mitch Trubisky, not great, but they also ran the hell out of the ball. And that's what the Bears are. They're going to play defense and run the football. And
that's what they should be.
Yeah, they do that, they should win. They just don't want Trubisky turning it over.
Yeah, Joe Flacco with another poor day, and you know, he turns it over twice, and they just the Ravens' offense has just been a disaster this season. And defensively, they've been good enough, and then today or yesterday, they weren't good enough to stop Jordan Howard. I don't know what the Ravens. I feel like they're just trash. But then you look up and they're 3-3.
Yeah, same record as the Texans, same record as the Jaguars.
They're hanging in with everybody else in the AFC, and
it just somebody starts playing well, the AFC can be had.
Well, and the Ravens are especially because, like I said, I haven't felt like the Ravens have done anything this year, but here they are. The Ravens have some talent. Like Joe Flacco is not a trash can quarterback. If Joe Flacco starts playing all of a sudden, the Ravens could go on a run. But so far, Joe Flacco just hasn't shown up this year. And a lot of it is Marty Morningweg just does it. It looks like the game's passed him by.
I don't want to dog the Bears too much because they won the game, but if you're going to run the football and play defense, one thing you can't do is give up points on special teams.
Oh, no.
And certainly not twice. But
you know what?
They overcame it.
That's something we didn't talk about with the Texans. I blast them every week when they suck at it, but they finally covered punts. And they did a decent job. They didn't have to cover a kick. But they did cover the punts well, and that's something we haven't seen. So kudos to the Texans special teams.
Okay, we didn't see Giants Broncos coming. I don't think we saw Dolphins 20 Falcons 17 coming either.
Especially when it was 17-0 at half.
Yeah,
and let me tell you, I like Kyle Shanahan. I've known Kyle for God 14 years now, and I have a lot of respect for him. But I was not afraid to call him out when they lost a Super Bowl. I think it was his fault. It seems like maybe that's just the Falcons' DNA, though.
Yeah.
They don't understand when you've got a lead, run the football. And if I told you you had a 17-0 lead at half and you were averaging 5 yards a carry, wouldn't you have more than 18 carries in the football game?
Yes.
And you know, the Dolphins, who were down the entire game, they found a way to get Jay Ajayi 26 carries.
Yeah.
You know, and Jay Cutler, who played like garbage in the first half, showed up in the second half. And
that's the first half of football he's played all year, really.
Yeah, he showed you why Jay Cutler still has a job in this league, because every once in a while he's like, oh, yeah, that guy can play a little ball. But I blame this on the Falcons for not running the football when they had a lead, and it just doesn't make sense to me.
And we talked about this a little earlier. The Jaguars, I'm not sure what the Jaguars are. I look at the talent on defense, and I say, okay, this team, if they can run the football with Leonard Fournette, who was doing great until he got hurt, and play defense, they can beat anybody. Don't let Blake Bortles, you know, have control of the game. Kind of hard when you're giving up kickoffs right off the bat for 103 yards when you're getting punts blocked. I think special teams cost them this one.
Absolutely did.
And then once the Rams have the lead on you and Blake Bortles has to beat you, bad things are going to happen.
You want to know the worst part of this game? I bet the under 42.5.
Ooh.
It was 14-0, 12 seconds into the game clock. 14-0.
And you still almost
got
there.
And I still almost got it.
Yeah.
And it took – there was another special teams touchdown.
Yeah.
I mean, I had the game just figured out perfectly, and they couldn't do it for me. But a lot of it, I think, is also the Rams are pretty good. And I worried about the Rams throwing the football against his Jacksonville secondary, but the Rams were smart enough to not throw the football.
Yeah.
They established
Jared
a run
Goff, they almost didn't use it all.
Yeah, and Todd Gurley did a really good job. They said, we're going to run block, and they run blocked, and they didn't put it in Goff's hands, which is something that we've credited the Jaguars for doing a lot this year, except this time they got in a position where they had to have Blake Bortles get him down there, and he just couldn't do it.
And I think these are very similar teams. I think they both play very good defense. They want to limit what their quarterback does and run the football. And when they do that, they're effective. And I know Goff has had a couple of big games earlier in the year, but I don't think that that's something that you want to count on. Saints 52, Lions 38.
Yeah, what a crazy game.
Yeah, that was nuts.
And if you told me Saints score 52 points, okay, that's not totally unbelievable. But then I say, Drew Brees, 186 yards, two interceptions.
Yeah, I would have laughed.
How's that even happen? Their defense led them. Their defense led the day. Matt Stafford was
he was a
turnover machine. He's beat up, but yeah, they that's five turnovers for Stafford. That's a bad day, and the Saints took advantage of all of them.
And finally, the Redskins beat the 49ers 26-24. We haven't really talked about our betting this weekend. I was down a significant amount after Friday night. That was a big beat for me.
Clemson.
Yeah. Well, if I just get the over, I split, and I'm fine.
You couldn't get either.
Couldn't get either one, and I thought the over was a lock, and I'd pretty much given up on the cover when Kelly got hurt. But so I'm way down. I scraped back with a few wins on Saturday in college football. I scraped back with a win on Toronto money line against Montreal in hockey, and then went all in on Texans and 49ers. So thank you, 49ers, for saving my weekend. I wound up quite a bit despite being in a huge hole early.
The 49ers are, and someone asked me when I was 3-3 on the NFL. I'll tell you later about my college weekend, which I'm very
proud of. It was better than 3-3.
It was better than 3-3. But the Niners, someone said, why would you take the Niners giving up 11 points, or why would you take the Niners with 11 points on their third straight road game? They're playing a team coming off of a bye week. And I said, really, the only reason I'm taking them is the 11 points. The Niners have now lost they've lost six games in a row, but their last five by a combined 13 points. That's almost impossible to do.
And
3-3, 3-2, and 2.
But
they're in games. They play hard.
Well, and the reason I like them to cover, I think 11.5 is what I got them at, was they've managed to come back late in games and get points. Now, I wasn't all that thrilled when C.J. Beathard went in, but he played okay.
Played well.
And that's the thing. I mean, this isn't a bad football team. They're just a winless football team. And, yeah, I was all over this. This was the Texans were my biggest play of the week. This was my second. And, yeah, I thought they did what they've done all year, which is hang around, get themselves in the game late, and then not find a way to win.
Yep. I think they're going to win games by the end of this year. It's just a matter of when. You know, and they've got a tough stretch of schedule coming up. They've got Cowboys at Eagles and Cardinals in their next three. But then they get into the Giants, the Bears. They've got some Titans and Jags at the end of the season. You know, we'll see what they can do. But I don't think they're the worst team in the league despite the 0-6 record. And there's probably some teams that have wins that I would take the 49ers over.
All right. That's the league.
La Liga.
Yeah. When we come back, I do want you to tell the people about your college weekend. And
Oh, gladly.
I want to...
Not that I'm bragging.
I want to weigh in on a couple of announcers from yesterday.
Okay.
And things that were said. There was one thing that offended the hell out of me.
Oh, look at you getting offended.
And one thing that didn't. And the thing that didn't, it'll probably surprise you.
Okay.
So we'll talk about that when we come back. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Listen to your favorite ESPN 97.5 show on the go with the ESPN 97.5 app for iOS or Android. Now back to The Blitz with Fred and AJ.
And we are back on The Blitz, live here at Fuego's.
Fuego's.
Pretty good food here.
I haven't eaten any.
It's worth checking out.
I've considered it multiple times.
7137.
I think about, like, trying to eat while I'm on, you know, while... We're in between breaks, and
right.
My food will come out right when we start a segment, and I'll be frustrated. And
yeah, that was my first segment today because I thought I'd ordered early enough, and then I didn't realize it was that close to showtime, and of course it showed up right at 4:02. So I had to sit there and stare at it for 9 minutes. But, no, very cool place. Come on out and watch the game tonight. And just want a quick plug for Houston.SportsMap.com. We'll be doing the inning-by-inning updates again tonight. Those have gone really well the first two games, and Chris Campisi does a great job, and I'll be home posting, so I'll be jetting out of here right after the show so I can be ready to post the first inning. And we also had some great stuff on the Texans yesterday. We had Brian O'Donnell's game story, Jermaine Every, who works here at the station on occasion, and he does a really good, bad, and ugly of the Texans, kind of dives more into the plays and things and gets kind of takes a deeper dive there. And then I did a thing on Deshaun Watson being the new face of the franchise.
There you go.
So good stuff all on.
Is he the new face of the franchise?
I think he is, yeah. I think I make a pretty good case. You might read the column.
He's the healthy face of the franchise for sure.
I think he was going to be by the end of this year anyway, just on performance.
Well, and it's always, you know, if things are close, usually the quarterback is going to be the star player.
And that was part of the article.
I would still argue that Jadeveon Clowney, of the healthy guys, Jadeveon Clowney is still their best player.
Might be their best player, but as far as the
highest ceiling.
But as far as face of the franchise, the guy that everybody looks to, the guy everybody's jersey they're going to buy.
Which is funny because Clowney was the number one overall pick. And usually that's what people get most excited about. But alas, that's not
more
the
so
case.
When they're a quarterback, I think, than the defensive player. All right, so... tell them about your college betting.
8-0 for the weekend. I needed it so bad, Fred, and it bumped me up. I'm 3-3 in the NFL, so I'm 15-15 on the season with one push. So I'm still technically not. I'm still technically in the red on that,
right?
Just for the juice. But now I'm 25-18-1 in college, so I'm well into the black. And covering any losses I have on the NFL side, so it feels good. I needed a week like that. Last weekend was rough for me in college. Yeah,
last weekend, like I said, was the worst weekend I've had in 3 years. And when mine started out like it did Friday night, I was about to say, you know what, I'm done. But then I kind of sat down and I was waiting for the Astros game to start because I was going to be doing the inning by inning thing there. And I said, you know what, man, I'm going to play a couple games here, try to get out of it. I bet Texas. Can't remember who the other two were, but I played three games and it hit all three. I think they were a couple of games that we talked about that I knew you liked. So I went 3-0 there, and then I played the hockey game and then just crushed the Texans and Browns. And I'm doing great on the NFL and lousy on colleges right now. And so I think, you know, I'm going to switch my focus because I've been – even my only push last week was NFL.
Yeah.
So –
well, I started off the week with Wazoo Cal under 55. We talked about the weather the air out there, and Washington State just, I mean, they didn't look like the same team. I don't know what was going on with those guys, but they scored 3 points the whole game. They were a disaster. So that was a no sweat cover there. I had Texas +9. They made me sweat.
That one I hit pretty hard, and I was nervous there because,
And then I had an under in Miami, Ohio, Kent State. That was no problem. West Virginia was It looked like maybe a sweat early on, yeah, but then they started to pull away.
That was another one I had, yeah.
TCU was an easy win, I thought.
TCU is still undervalued by Vegas.
I really think so. And then I had Ole Miss, and that wasn't a sweat. And then Indiana plus 7.5 against Michigan. The game goes to overtime. That's free money. I mean, so it was and then I my last play was Iowa State. We talked about that. You know, I thought Iowa State, coming off that big win even, would just go out and hammer Kansas, and they did. And I had to give up 22.5 points, and I didn't. I could have given up 30. It had been fine. It wasn't even a matchup.
All right, I want to talk about a couple of announcers real quick, if we could.
Okay.
And I know Jong has the audio, and I want to start with Al Michaels, who's the one who stirred everything up last night, and here's what he had to say.
And let's face it, the Giants are coming off a worse week than Harvey Weinstein, and they're up by 14 points.
Only my L.A. guy comes up with that
one.
Well,
you know.
There you go.
All you have to do is read the papers, any paper. Back in Denver, sorry I made a reference earlier before, tried to be a little flip about somebody obviously very much in the news all over the country, and was not meant in that manner. So my apologies. And
That's a joke that I would make and not even think twice about it.
And I actually thought it was funny.
And this is why I'll never work for national media. I'll never be, you know.
You'll never be Al Michaels.
Never, because I couldn't do that.
Sorry,
I couldn't.
But why are we so? And I got in this argument with Ken Hoffman this morning about it, because he's like, "Oh, you can't compare a rapist to a football." Why not? And oh, by the way, he was just saying his week was awful.
Yeah.
Come on, man. Are we that freaking sensitive? So I didn't have any problem with it, and you know, he says because I'm a turd, and that's true. I don't make any bones about that.
They, you know, and what's funny is, I'm guessing you got the same email I got from, I forget, was it? I don't even know who. Craig Larson, I think, sent it from Ken Hoffman, and Ken had sent a note out, said he's doing a story for Sports Map. And please forward this to everybody who's on air at the stations. In light of Al Michaels having to apologize for making a Weinstein joke, in your career, what's the worst, dumbest, or most embarrassing thing you've ever said on the air? Give me two paragraphs, what you said, where and when, and how you apologized or the punishment you received. Be funny or serious or however you feel about it. Thanks, Ken Hoffman. I got to be honest. I can't even think of...
We've gotten in trouble for things, but it's not like we regret. I mean, yeah, pepper spray, that's probably it. But,
and I don't regret that.
I don't either. It got attention. It was.
I work in this medium because this medium suits what I do. It allows me to make jokes and to be crass and to not. I mean, to not be looked at as like a journalist or some sort of serious newsman, because I'm not that. And if I had a job that I had to be a serious newsman, I wouldn't have lasted 14 years. So, to me, I don't even know if I can come up with an example of something I've said on air that I had to apologize for or I've felt bad about. You know, the only thing that comes to mind is I had to, and I didn't even have to. I apologized for it because Dave Tepper asked me to, but when I tweeted out the corn dog picture and asked our listeners to Photoshop the corn dog picture.
And, of course, our listeners ran with it in directions that, you know.
The directions that I wanted them to.
Yes, yes.
But I didn't feel like I had done anything wrong. I didn't feel like I had said anything that was anyhow offensive to the masses. But I apologized only because my boss and my friend asked me to. If he would not have asked me to, I wouldn't have thought twice about it. I mean, I don't. You're talking about a public figure that doesn't. If I'm telling people to Photoshop a picture of a public figure
that put the photo out herself,
right?
Let's make sure we're accurate about this.
Yeah. So I didn't feel bad about it, but I apologized anyway. I've made crass jokes. I've made jokes that would be considered cruel to some people who are the butt of those jokes. I don't apologize for them because this is my job. You know, I'm Fred, do you think I'm like some sort of football genius because I'm not John Harris or Jason Braddock. You know, I'm not Lance Zierlein. I'm here to make jokes. And if I had to apologize for every time I made a joke, that offended someone, I just wouldn't be here. So, and I know my job is different than Al Michaels' job, but that's why.
Well, and I do admit I try to be a little more responsible sometimes, but I also believe in, you know, I also believe in don't get offended over everything. And Mont said you fake apologize for stuttering. Fake apology is not real apology.
I apologize. Totally.
And Big Dog says, what about the little person comments? That I didn't apologize for that. I was just told I couldn't say it anymore.
Yeah.
And then we promptly had a little person on who went off about why that was a bad idea. All right. I have another one I want to get to, and we'll make it gem of the day, but we have to go to break. So when we come back, I will tell you the announcer who really did offend me.
Okay.
Probably not the one you think. Quick break. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
All right, we're gonna jump right into this because we don't have a lot of time here. So let's do the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
All right, Dick Stockton is a veteran announcer.
Mm-hmm.
And I've Ron Burgundy things before, just reading what was put in front of me. Well, this is what he did yesterday.
On the Visa Halftime Report, Kurt Terry, Howie, Michael, and Tony look on graphic for the final two bullet points.
Basically. But that's not...
Welp.
That's not why I'm going to rip him today.
Oh, okay.
Because I was, when the Texans game was over, I was flipping through, you know, watching my four games on the screen thing, or eight games, whichever. I think it was four yesterday. And I put it on the sound of either the Chiefs Steelers or that game because I was kind of interested in both. And what the hell is a Jaguar?
I don't know.
He kept calling it Jaguars, and I'm like, wait. Okay, listen, they're the Jaguars. All right, if you're from England, they're the you can call them the Jaguars. I've even accepted the whole, some people call them Jaguars. I don't know where you get wires out of that. But okay, if that's what you're going to call them. But what the hell is a Jaguar? How can you go a whole game calling them Jaguars?
I don't like it either.
What is that, French? Is that how you do G-U-A-R in French?
I don't know.
Are they a French team?
I don't know.
Are they Paris Saint-Germain?
They're from Jacksonville.
Yes, Florida, right? Not Jacksonville, France.
Jacksonville, Florida, not France.
And I have no clue where that came from, but it's amazing the things that irritate the snot out of me. But after about six times of hearing that, I'm like, dude, you know, somebody pull him aside and say, there's no such thing as a Jaguar.
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 Wah.
That's your Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
Wah.
Am I wrong to be irritated by that? He said it once, and I thought it was a mistake, and then I was kind of like, And then he did it again and again and again. That's one where you say, dude, just call them the Jags, please.
I'm with you.
And that's easy, right? There's no debate about that. I don't know. I don't like Jaguar either. But people keep doing it, so it's like, okay. But no, we cannot have this trend start. The Texans play them twice a year. They're in the same division. We have to talk about them all the time. We are not going to have Jaguars.
I think we should
on
just go
station.
With Jags.
I'm fine with that.
Maybe Jacksonville should just change their name to the Jags and keep it simple.
That would make it much easier.
Or Spotty Cats. Wouldn't that be good?
That's a little weak.
Okay.
All right. We are about to take a quick break. When we come back, you'll be able to hear us on both 97.5 and 94.1.
I've got a crazy NFL stat from this week that I wanted to share.
I would love to hear a crazy NFL stat. We also haven't had talked colleges at all, so we'll do that when we come back. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by.